Welcome to the Supported Living Property Podcast with your host, me, Lisa Brown, the place to learn about supported living property investing. This is one episode of a series of Lisa Live interviews that were recorded via Zoom and streamed into the Supported Living Property Investing with a Difference Facebook group. It was not studio recorded, and so please accept the sound quality as it is. Good evening, everybody. Thank you for joining us tonight. Tonight, I'm delighted to introduce Elaine Hollerhead as my guest. Elaine, do you want to tell people a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, thank you, Lisa. Good evening, everybody, and thank you, Lisa, for inviting me along. Right, about me, well, I was an occupational therapist all my working life up until 2011, but I still retain my HCP registration. But in 2009, I studied interior design. And when it got to about sort of 2010-ish, I got really fed up with the NHS, which was the last place I was working in. I was in primary healthcare, not with the clients at all, but because it was just target driven and we were given ridiculous targets. And I wasn't doing the kind of work and giving the client satisfaction I wanted to. So I thought, well, maybe I'll leave and maybe I'll go independent. And I thought, what kind of independent work would I do? And I thought, I know there's a huge, hole in a net, if you like, between general alterations for people, which are pretty clinical and pretty grotty. And would I have them in my house? Answer, no. So why are we putting them in anybody's house? And I would combine my interior design skills. And that's what I do now.
Fantastic.
So now, I basically make functional fabulous.
I love that. Strapline. I absolutely love that. Now, for a lot of people, they're going to be wondering what an occupational therapist is. So if you can just explain that in a nutshell, I guess, so people can understand the concept.
Try to do it in a nutshell. Well, basically, occupational therapy, it's helping you to live the life you want to live. When you think of occupation, you probably think of baskets and crafts and those sorts of things, which are all important. But then you look at what is somebody's occupation. I mean, what's your occupation? You know, property development, supportive living, those sorts of things. So the best way to describe it is if in the awful event you're in an accident and say you had a head injury, hopefully a minor one, the question would be, could you go back to work or not? And we would try to get you there. So we'd look at all kinds of the physical aspects of living, the psychological aspects of adjustment, etc. And that's basically what occupational therapy is. But then there are so many different fields you can go into, one of which is learning difficulties, but literally hundreds. I mean, there are OTs who go into work with prisoners in the prison service, with homeless, head injuries, catastrophic injury, as we call it, anything really.
And it's all age ranges as well, isn't
it? It's all age ranges. It's literally from 0 to 100+. We've even got OTs working in neonatal units. So there's innovative practice all the time.
And I've always felt it was a little bit of a Cinderella service, that it's very much not appreciated until someone really needs an OT and then they realise actually how important they are.
That's right. We're Cinderella service to physio, really. Yeah. But if you like as well, we both actually, physios and OTs very much do the same things, except physios give people exercises to do and are very much hands-on and manipulation. And we give people activities to do things by. And we analyse those activities to the ninth degree. You know, like if you were making a cup of tea, I can tell you there's about 30 stages involved in making a cup of tea. And we whittle it down and whittle it down till we find out just the very thing that somebody's having difficulty with, either grasping the concept or actually being physically able to do it. And we resolve that. So we're the enablers.
Fantastic. That's great. So... I'm trying to think of the best way to lead into this, but really there is help available for landlords that's accessed in a certain way, isn't there? Do you want to talk a bit about those?
Yes, well, there's something called the Disability Facilities Grant, Disabled Facilities Grant, and I don't know how many of your landlords are aware of that. It's very difficult for landlords. I mean, primarily, if you've got a disability, then you are entitled to apply for a disabled facilities grant to have your accommodation adapted to suit your needs. Now, that sounds all very well, and the person who's this, I hate the word, but anyway, got the disability can apply, or the landlord can apply. Now, lots of problems, really. First of all, you can't do a single thing until the grant has been approved. So you can't even lay a new tile, because if the inspector comes in and finds you've started the work, they've got the power to say no grant. You've also got to be resident, or your tenant's got to be resident for 5 years. Which is quite a long time.
You've got resident in the area, or in that one property?
In that one property.
Okay.
Which is, so unless it's a long-term let, that can be a problem. Otherwise, a certain amount of the grant has to be paid back. The maximum grant an individual can get is £30,000, which actually doesn't go that far. No. Not when you're building and building costs, refurb costs, architects' fees, builders' fees, etc., etc. And generally speaking, when you make an application, your first initial phone call is to the local authority department, and they will put you in touch with their occupational therapy team, who go out and do an assessment. Now, I think Devon's quite good. I don't think they've got a particularly long waiting list. Bristol has a terrifically long waiting list. But many landlords decide, I think if it's just a landlord applying, the most they can get is 10,000.
We managed to get, we got actually over 30,000 for our...
Oh, well done.
But that was with a lot of support from the commissioner and everybody This young man really needed a lot of adaptation to a property. And he hadn't been living there for 5 years, but obviously we were doing it for him.
Would he stay for 5 years?
He will be staying, absolutely.
Well, that's the thing, they've got... No, sorry, Pat, I do apologise if I didn't make it clear. You've not already got to have been resident for 5 years, but you've got to agree to being a tenant there for 5 years. So a lot of landlords just go ahead and do work anyway. I think other landlords are terrified that the place is going to look like a clinic. And there are some dreadful clinical adaptations around, but I hope I can show you later on that it doesn't have to be like that. There's lots of documents around. You've probably heard of DOCM, which What's is just DOCM? A section of some documents. It's a building document.
Right.
And it is guidelines only, but people think it's set in stone. It's right. Like the layout of a toilet or something.
Okay.
Or a bathroom. And you don't have to use AKW's horrible, ugly things. They were just very smart. When it came out, they jumped on the bandwagon, and of course they got their lovely equipment in all the pictures. So everybody thought, oh, well, golly, we'd better use that.
But that's not the case. AKW, is that a brand then, Elaine?
Yes, it is. Okay. It is. It's a company that sell clinical equipment, fundamentally. Right. So everything looks like a clinic. But you don't have to. Yes, you have to observe certain heights of things, but you don't have to buy all the products that are featured in there. And it is guidelines only. But so a lot of people look at that and think, oh, I don't want my property looking like that. It's going to look absolutely dreadful. But it doesn't have to be like that at all. So I'll show you hopefully a bit later.
Yeah, no, that's fabulous. Because I think for a lot of landlords, that's one of their concerns about having a supported living tenant is, one is the property's going to need adapting. What's that going to look like? Is that going to affect the future value of the property? And I think another issue is also that, hang on, am I going to have to foot the bill for these adaptations and changes? And where's that going to come from? So I think the fact that there is money, that tenants are entitled to that money for those changes, that it isn't easy to obtain. And it is a battle in some places.
It's a long process. But then the thing to do is to go to the local council. And I'm sure that if you are intending to specialise, to have a dwelling that's going to be for people with minor or quite major disabilities, then they would be prepared to put money into that, because that would be ongoing. you know, and you'd actually be resolving a real problem for them because there aren't very many adaptive properties around.
No, absolutely. And that was very much how we were perceived in doing the work that we were doing for this young man. The other thing is that a lot of people, quite often the care team who would come with the tenant or who are supporting the tenant will know who the occupational therapist is for that person.
We'll actually know
a lot of how to access that stuff. So it's not something necessarily that the landlord needs to be doing. It sounds quite daunting, doesn't it, for any of the local authority trying to find it. But actually, you'll probably find that the care team and the OT and the social worker are already liaising and planning for that move.
Absolutely. And they can put pressure on as well. I think the biggest thing is not being able to start work until the grant's approved.
Yeah, that's really frustrating, isn't it?
And then also, local authorities tend to run out of money towards the end of the financial year and then project the project forward into the following year. So a lot of people just get fed up by the length of time it takes and choose to do things themselves. But technically, people are entitled to a disability facility. Grant.
And so it's really important to be aware of that. I think the other thing to be aware
of
is that in the area where we did this property in Plymouth, the local authority will only use their approved builders to do DFG work. So yes. You can't use your general builder.
Well, that's not necessarily the case. I mean, they might try to wheedle that. I mean, I know lots of local authority builders who are rubbish. I think if you've got a good builder that they can check out, they should be quite happy. Because if you're doing this privately as an individual house owner, they can't impose their own builders onto you. In fact, very often you just have to go and find a builder, so they come to somebody like me who can hopefully recommend a good builder. Otherwise, it's a bit like sticking a pin in something, hoping for the best.
I mean, certainly with us, we did end up getting
really differently.
Sorry, with our one, we did end up getting our builder approved by the local authority, and it wasn't as arduous as I was expecting. Because he was doing such extensive renovation to the property anyway, it was daft that we had two different teams in doing, they needed to work seamlessly. But it is just something that people need to be aware that barrier potentially is
absolutely
there.
Absolutely. Well, and it varies authority to authority as well.
Yeah.
So.
And there is, as you said, long waiting lists in a lot of places, aren't there? But I know you've got some information about the grants. We'll pop it into the comments for later for people to access, so they can.
Yes, I've got a web link you can have for that.
Lovely. Thank you, Elaine. And so tell us the kind of stuff that you're working on at the moment. What sort of projects are you doing and how?
Well, I'm doing a very exciting project in Sheldon at the moment, which is down your neck of the woods.
Yeah.
Because I work with a lot of architects, and this particular firm of architects brought me in on this project, and it's for a gentleman he still is an entrepreneur, and he's got motor neurone disease. He's only 48, 49, quite young. Anyway, he wanted to invest in his property looking lovely, all bells, whistles, the works. And so he'd got this, one of his many properties was this old seaside cottage, which was a nightmare for us to even look at modifying, but an even more of a nightmare where the builders went in, because needless to say, they found all kinds of problems with the roof, the drains, you name it, it virtually had to be rebuilt. But the idea is that most things will be voice controlled.
Right.
Everything, the lights will come on, the curtains, well, it's not curtains, it's blinds. He's having the blinds will draw, he's having a beautiful lift, through floor glass lift put in. What we call it, well, there is a name for it, it sounds like a train. I can't remember all of it, but it's like a scissor lift that goes up one step and then descends into the floor again so that it's hidden. So it's going to be absolutely gorgeous. But the idea was that it looked like normal living, so that when his teenage sons came round to see him, it wasn't going to look as if it was full of really ugly, horrible equipment. It was all very, very low key, and very expensive furniture, etc., went in there. So that's one of the projects,
I think for a lot of people, they maybe can't envisage quite how ugly and how large quite a lot of the machinery and the adaptations are in a normal property. I think quite a few people, unless you've been into some people's houses or been exposed to that equipment. It is massive and it takes up huge amounts of space, doesn't it? You know, and I think it's something that maybe people don't realise.
Well, the first thing I try and do is hide it. You know, people have a limited budget and can't go for the very high-end stuff, which blends in beautifully. And the first thing I try and do is build cupboards and hide it as best I can. Because as an occupational therapist, I have two hats on as an occupational therapist. I think there's nothing more demoralising than looking at all this clinical equipment. I mean, what incentive is there to make a recovery? You're continually getting the reinforcement that you're disabled, which of course, you know, is not really the case.
No.
Provision of an enabling piece of equipment can just restore some lost independence. So we cater for budgets, really. But I love hiding things. I think the worst thing is I go into somebody's house and you go up to the bedroom and you think, hang on a minute, am I still in the same house? Because the rest of the house is quite nice. And the bedroom looks like a hospital ward and the bed looks just as if it's been delivered from the hospital, you know, pale blue cover and the works. And just something like dressing a bed, you know, in sort of duvet and pillows and shams and all sorts of things. You wouldn't know it's a hospital bed when it's finished with, but it's really important that you get the feeling it is your bed to relax in.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. I know you've got some photos and some stuff to share, haven't you? Do you want to share some of your things?
Okay, yeah, let's do a little bit of screen sharing.
Fabulous.
Right, so now share the screen. Oh no, I come back. Yeah. Oh, hold on a minute. Ah, I've come out now. Wait a minute. Hold on a minute, let's just go back in to the Zoom, sorry. I am screen sharing, jolly good.
Here we go. You just need to find, open your PowerPoint.
That's perfect. Right. Okay then, so, right, let's have a look. Right, let's go on this one first of all. Oh, where am I? Here we are, right. Okay, so this is me. First thing I wanted to show you, I thought, let's look at access first of all. And here we are. What a gorgeous ramp that is, I don't think. But it's typical. It's typical of the design you think you must have, which are these hideous galvanized rails. They'd look a bit better if they were colored or if there were some plants around. In fact, what you can have, so let me advance on a click, is something like that. Now, what you've actually got here is you've got I'm too mouse happy. Sorry.
It's quite different, this controls when you're screaming.
I'm happy with my mouse. I just love clicking it. Okay, so we go back to this here is lipping, which goes around the edges. Now, you can put up a handrail if you want to. Lipping is actually quite adequate. You probably know that your ramps are supposed to be a minimum of 1 in 12, preferably 1 in 15. So that's a foot. So for every foot height, you've got to have another 15 feet.
Right.
Okay, so if you start to get above that, then the best thing is to get a lift, which I haven't actually shown because I didn't know how much time I'd have tonight. However, if we go back to this ramp, we can see that somebody here has prepared some flower beds. So putting up some reasonable size hedging, you're not going to fall off the edge anyway, even if you couldn't really. But that is just so much nicer, just a gradually sloping path. So that's one thing. Now, let's go inside. Oh, look, here we are. This is the disability shower room. Now, these are typical. Here you've got delightful half doors so that it looks like a horse box, complete with white plastic shower curtain. And I can't see if they've got a seat. They may not have, but usually it's the tip-up variety. It's like a slatted seat with telescopic legs. And when it's exposed to the water, it becomes rusty, so it sort of drips this horrible rust. Yeah. Lovely cubicle. It doesn't have to be like that at all. And
to
of course,
that looks better than a lot of them, Elaine, because you've got nice blue. You know, it's a bright blue, isn't it? It's not that clinical NHS blue.
Well, I'm afraid I think blue is clinical anyway. The NHS love blue, white and grey. It's their favourite palette. And yes, I mean, they've tried to put up a picture and then they've tried to put a little shelf in there. But to me, that's extremely clinical. And if you were trying to sell your property, the first thing somebody would come along and say is, right, I'm taking $8,000 off to get rid of that hideous monstrosity and put something nicer in its place. Mm. It doesn't have to be like that. So let's look at an alternative. Now, this is a scheme that I did for a gentleman who was an above knee amputee as a result of an accident. And this was providing an ensuite. And what we've got here, we've got lovely wall boards. I mean, I know it's beigey, but he wanted that colour. That's fine, but it's nice, isn't it? It's really nice. Yeah. These rails here are drop-down rails. They are top-of-the-range rails, but you can get cheaper ones than that. The lovely thing about these rails is that they unclip, and then on the back, you just put a faceplate, and you wouldn't have, it's chrome, you wouldn't even know what it was, so that's really lovely. Inside here, we've got a beautiful sort of a grey glass panel. Well, you wouldn't necessarily have that, but this is what's really interesting. This is called a Merlin shower seat, and it comes in three different widths. I needed 900 because he had to sit on the seat and be able to support his limb so that he could medicate it. So you could have it as wide as you like. He'd rung me up and said that he'd seen this wonderful floating shower seat, and I knew what it was. It was a Mackie shower cubicle with the illusion, when you look through the tiny little door into it, that the seat was floating. And the reason it did that was because you've got four rods here, and two there and two into the glass, so that when you look through the glass, it looks like it floats. So we actually reproduced what he wanted, but using this shower seat. So it's just an ordinary product. It's not a disability product, but it comes in three widths. And then we've got non-slip tiles, but it all looks pretty super duper. Mm. And I don't think anybody would mind using that remote control for the shower, etc. And that just shows what you can do. Mm. Now, my favorite grab rails. These are the sorts of dreams of delight that the local authority provide. Now, caution, these are the very favourites in Bristol, these ones here, because they'll go anywhere, including outside the front of the house. Problem is that the plastic coating peels and chips and then rusts, and that is just sepsis waiting to happen. So unless people contact the local authority about a year, usually about a year after they're installed, they're a potential death trap. Mm. I hate, but they're only about £1 each. This is a typical drop-down rail, lovely thing that you'll find in most disabled toilets, even in hotels. And then this one, they've put up, I mean, honestly, it's another plastic one, but you could get a nice metal one there. So it just screams disability to me. So instead of that, why don't we have these? They're not that expensive. This is just a chrome straight rail with a little sort of non-slip surface. Now, impy showers do a detachable grip that's non-slip, that's actually really nice, that you can put onto any handrail if you're afraid it might be slippery. So it's a little bit more expensive, but it will look really nice in a bathroom. And these are the Rolls-Royce or Aston Martin of rails. But basically what they are, it's a guy who's a designer, and he's perfected this incredible coating for rails. So you get your ordinary stainless steel rail like this, you send it off, you choose a design of your choice, it can be absolutely anything you dream of, you send him a vector image, and then that is printed onto the coating, and this does not chip, peel or break.
Wow. Are they waterproof as well?
They're totally waterproof, and you can use it like a feature. Mm-hmm. So you could use it as a towel rail. You know, I mean, first thing, go into a bathroom, somebody's going to say, oh my God, where did you get that from? I want one. You know, it's a real morale booster. So that's just a selection of designs. But as I say, you can have absolutely anything printed on them. They are fairly expensive, but I always say to people, well, look, okay, maybe you don't feel you can personally afford one. What about a family clubbing together to buy you something for Christmas or a birthday? You know, it's a real statement piece.
Yeah, they're beautiful, aren't they? They really are.
They are. They're absolutely gorgeous, yeah. Oh, and now we come on to hoist. Now, this is the beauty that you'll usually find that the NHS will provide for people.
It's these just, are really big, aren't they? These are designed to lift an adult.
Really, and they're huge. They're really big, and they're not comfortable to be hoisted in. Yeah. And you need a lot of space to manoeuvre them because it's a two-person job. Under manual handling regulations, you are not allowed to use this on your own with a patient or a client or whatever. You have to use two of you. The legs splay out. There's a little lever here. And then it's powered generally. But you're suspended on the spreader bar, which is not particularly comfortable. So when you look in most bedrooms, they're fairly narrow by the side of the bed, and this isn't going to work at all.
No.
So they're generally pushing beds around and ghastly. What you want is a ceiling track hoist, which does exactly what it says on the tin. Now, you can either have your bar going into the ceiling if your joists are strong enough, or you can have a gantry, which is an A-frame. And there's various types of motor. Again, it depends whether, you know, you want the old banger or you want the top of the range car as to how you invest in them. But you can have one person, so in supported living, if there's somebody in a wheelchair, one person to help them. And it's a lot more comfortable to be transferred from bed to wheelchair or wheelchair into bath or whatever.
And that's what the function is used for, isn't it, Elaine, is to transfer people from, say, the wheelchair.
It's for transferring. Mm-hmm. And in time, probably in the next few years, these will be totally obsolete because you have to look at the carers as well. So this is your ceiling track hoist. And here's one in a rendered bedroom. Here we are. It's just going the length of the ceiling there. It's got its spreader bar, its motor, which is remote controlled, it'll go right up to the bed, person pops in, you'd have a chair there, slide them across. This is actually one of the renders that I did for James in Devon. So in actual fact, the one that he's got has additional rails on the side here. It's what we call an XY system, so that it'll go sideways and along the length, and it'll actually go through into the bathroom as well. So you just have the one piece of tracking, and there we are. There's your two rails.
Fantastic.
Third rail. And that will take him anywhere over the, it's just an ensuite actually. But we've got things like, and I mean, the OTs can actually prescribe these for people. This is a bit of an upmarket one, but it's a body dryer, which is absolutely brilliant for people who can't dry themselves. It's got a series of jets all the way down, warm air jets, and you just sit there like a, and it dries you like a hairdryer.
Okay.
For somebody who can't dry themselves, I mean, it's really important you do that yourself, isn't it? And this will let you do that. Anyway, that was to show you the hoist. So I've got a couple of case studies here that might be interesting. People, this was for a lady aged 45, lived in a really nice cottage with her husband, and I'm sticking on the en-suites because they're quick to go through. She got multiple sclerosis. She was ambulant, a little bit unsteady, so used a rollator. But in the current configuration that she has, this is just the 2D plan, she couldn't do anything for herself. Her husband had to be with her all the time. So you'll see in a minute, we've got a soil pipe here, which is great. Ordinary loo, quadrant shower, two wash basins with vanity units and a radiator. A very small space. And there we are. This is what it looked like. Inward opening door. Not a lot of space. The vanity units are here. There we are. That's the other view of the bathroom. So you can see it was really, really small and she couldn't really do anything. So what we did, we designed it for her. Same space. Took away the quadrant shower and put in a wet room. You'll see this in a minute. Little impy seat. Took away the inward opening door. This is a tip for your landlords here. We put in an Eclis sliding door. And immediately, we've got almost another metre of space to play with, which was great. Rails all the way round, shower. Took away the two wash basins, put in one wash basin, wall mounted, that she could sit underneath. Toilet with hinged rails and a little storage area. And the next slide shows, there we are. So this is what we did with it.
Wow.
I just put some mosaics up because I like those. This is the little impy seat. It's really nice because when I look at seats for people, I try to look at them aesthetically, obviously. But this particular one, instead of lifting the seat up and back, you pull it forward and push it back. So you have the seat visible rather than the underside. And it comes in a few colours. But there we are. So she's got her shower, she's got some rails, she can sit at the wash basin, she's got her mirror, and she's got a radiator there. And then the doors, the sliding door is through there.
So that's then given.
And that was just a different colour scheme. So on my program, I can change any colours. Do anything with it, really. So if she said, oh, I don't like that, I want such and such a colour, well, we can change it together. And there's just a little seat in the down position rather than folded back. Gave her a purple one. She liked purple. So the flooring, we changed the flooring. You don't have to...
I think for people who don't know, Altro flooring is the flooring you typically get in hospitals, care, you know, residential care settings where it's that really
and hard. Even in hotels sometimes. As long as it's non-slip, it's fine.
Yeah.
And then this is my gentleman who's got motor neurone disease. This was the cottage. So this is one view. It's an L shape. So we're now looking at it from just having come up the staircase, which is here. So you've got this part of the room and then an L shape going down. It's absolutely lovely. And what we did, we transformed it for him. He very much liked Art Deco. Now, this is a stilts lift. This is one of the most popular glass-fronted lifts you would get. And it's got the smallest footprint for a wheelchair. So you can get a couple of people standing up in it, or you can get a wheelchair user in it. When it descends down, the top of the lift is covered with the carpet, so you can't see the lift at all.
Got so nice all of the glass disappears, or just...
It's all glass. It's right. All glass.
Yeah.
That was his special chair. These were some Art Deco chairs he wanted, little... cocktail cabinet, etc., etc. And then this was looking at it going down into the other L part, and what we did was this. So we can reproduce virtually everything he was buying. He was buying this sculptural piece of lamp, and he decided that because his mobility was deteriorating and he knew he would be sitting around quite a lot, rather than just sit here and watch his TV, he thought he could, the kitchen is just here, he would be able to just sit along by the kitchen, keep nice and warm with this. He found this, it's the tiniest wood-burning stove you can imagine, and also look out on the amazing views of the bay.
Wow, what a great...
Yeah, and this carpet is actually made from fishing nets. I had to source it for him. But it's lovely. It feels like carpet. But right. He was all into sustainability and everything else. So that was the lounge, and that's really just to show you a couple of things. As I said, I didn't know how much time I'd have. That's and those fabulous. Are my contact details.
So then people can contact you if they've got questions.
They can contact me, yes. Yeah, if they have any questions at all, I'd be very happy to help people.
Shall we end sharing and carry on chatting? I know there's a couple of questions in. If people have got any more questions, please pop them into the comments.
Okay, I'll stop sharing now.
Yeah, that's great. There we go. I think the thing that really showed to me was just how different it can look. And I almost feel like some people in the group, if you're from a property background, you kind of expect everything to look beautiful. Mm. And so it's, you know, having that comparison to how it could have been, isn't it? But the feedback from your clients, I know you were telling me about one lady who hated seeing her stuff, and that's why you put the stuff in the cupboards, and how much difference that made to just her well-being, really.
But just using colours and wallpaper and all the sorts of things that we would use, it just makes it so different. You've just got to know when you're looking at flooring what you're recommending. I mean, curtains, blinds, etc., they can all be automated, not terribly expensively. When I was an OT working in primary care, we tried to get the local authority to pay for automated blinds for people or automated curtains, because we were very concerned with the number of fallers we were getting. And one of the worst things is that people will support themselves on a piece of furniture, lean across to pull the curtain, or try and use a helping hand to do it. The furniture moves and they fall. Well, you know, it's absolutely crazy. Why not do it from the comfort of your armchair and save a fall? Or else they'd have to wait till their carer came in
and that's
to draw the curtain. Oh, that's crazy, isn't it? You know, and if the sun suddenly comes out and it's blinding you, you've got to wait for somebody to come round. It's totally ridiculous.
And I think it's just looking at those practical things, and a lot of this is to do with physical adaptations, isn't it? But I think also when you're looking at people who have learning disabilities, autism, mental health, you know, there's so many different adaptations that people need within their property design to make it right for them. I know we were chatting earlier about it and about, you know, but I think one of the key things you were saying is it's not a one size fits all approach, is it? That's what's really, really key to it.
I mean, usually there's an OT working with the client, and I would always link up with them. I mean, my nephew's got autism, and have to be really careful what colours you use, but colours that he likes. So, you know, some people say, oh, don't use bright colours. Well, Remy loves bright colours, you know, and he doesn't like dull colours. That'll set him off, you know. So, it's really what the person likes. It's, I think, also giving people the opportunity to express themselves. So I always recommend things like blackboards, pin boards, you know, or magnetic boards, you know, that people can use to, if you like, draw on, give themselves some identity, or even cover with a certain piece of wallpaper, you know, some sort of scene that they really like. As long as they've got those things in the room that really appeal to them and one little quirk that they might really like, I think it's terribly important to include that.
Certainly the bungalow that we did, we couldn't have put wall, like pictures on the wall or anything for the young man who lives there, but we did wall stickers. The care team came in and did them, and they were brilliant. They were all his favourite characters, and really personalised the property.
Absolutely,
for him, you know, and that was something that was very safe for to personalise it for him without it becoming a risk for him of having
exactly.
I'm just scrolling through to see some of the questions. So, what happens to the grant money if the disabled resident does not survive for the whole 5 years, or if they need to go into long-term hospital care?
That's a very good one. I think it's an individual. If they applied for it themselves, then they don't, as I understand it, have to give it back if that happens.
Right.
I'm not too sure if the landlord had applied for it. I think, I think it's very much an individual with the local authority. But they're not terribly mean about those sorts of situations.
I think it's also you know, you talk about the client applying for it themselves. Certainly in our situation, it was the court of protection, you know, his guardian.
Oh, right. Protection.
Had to apply for it because he obviously didn't have the ability to consent for it, so it becomes more complicated.
But you can
it?
Leave all of that to them, can't you? The court of protection, you know, they'll do it all and take the headaches away, which is fantastic.
Do you show the client the ideas in CGI first?
Yes.
Yeah.
If we can. This little program that I have, it's 2 and 3D CAD. And you just knock it up really, really quickly. So we give people an idea of the colours they might want, and then they might send something through, or they might say, do you know, I really like this. So we'll look on, you just look on the internet, you take a swatch, put it in my gallery, press a key, and everything's transformed. We can do furniture and all the rest of it. I mean, obviously, fitting up something like a kitchen takes quite a time, but people get the idea. It's all interactive, and that's what's so nice as an OT. I can sit with the client and we can do it together. And it very much becomes their project rather than just being given something, because that's another thing with interior design. You get fabulous interior designers, but the poor client goes into the property and it's been beautifully designed, might not be to their taste, and they've had no say in it
so
whatsoever. Yeah. Whereas we can own it together.
Mm.
So as long as it's not screaming or it's going to do them some harm, I just let them have really more or less what they want and try and bring it together and coordinate it. Mm. Because they've got to live in it and they've got to, you know, really, really like it. So it's quite quick room by room. And I'll also do a mood and a sample board as well.
Right.
With the materials and textures. I mean, this is really just to give people an overview of what it's going to look like. So on a mood and sample board, well, not so much on the mood board, but we'd have the picture in the middle of the room. Then we'd have all the various pictures of the products. And then what material samples we could get, we'd also put in, and they'd all be numbered and keyed. And then I do a spec for the main client, and that's the actual picture of the item, how much it costs, where you get it from, the web link, etc., etc. And then we do a running total, so we stay within budget. But obviously, that is only as good as the day you do it. If you're going to leave it for 6 or 7 months, then it'll all probably have gone up. And then people have got an idea. They might suddenly change their mind about a lamp or a sofa or whatever, but at least they've got something to take with them. Mm-hmm. You know, so that they can go along and think, oh well, actually I quite like that instead.
Mm.
I also go for bespoke furniture, which people say bespoke, thinking of pound signs, but actually it isn't. It's about £300 more for a sofa than you do going out and buying one. The beauty of that is that it can be tailored to that person's specific requirements. So if they're not very tall, it can be lowered. If they're very tall, seat height. Rather than raise it from the floor, you can actually have it built to that height. Right. Or you can have one area built to that height and so on. It can accommodate any kind of spinal problems as well. That can all be built in. But, you know, it's not isolating. You don't have to sit in your wheelchair all the time or in a special chair because you can't get off the sofa. And for another £300, it's well worth it.
Mm.
So that's made from scratch. I've got a few suppliers that will do that.
Wow,
and again, people choose their fabric, choose anything you like. Well, provided you can afford the fabric to start. But, you know, most things, you can get a good copy.
Yeah.
You know, you can look at a magazine and some things like, I don't know, £16,000 rubbish. You can copy it very cheaply, you know. So I'm very good at copying. But you can still get the look.
And use that creativity to try.
Yeah, get the look, get the wow factor in there.
Someone's saying it's really inspiring, so good to see all the possibilities and real examples. Thank you. Someone else is saying that was amazing. My mum had loads of ugly equipment when I was her full-time carer. I wish we'd known this existed. I know looking at all the equipment depressed her, and as you say, it gave her no incentive to try and help herself. It just reinforced her disabilities in her mind.
Yeah, really hard,
isn't it?
It's not for everybody. Some people are very happy. I mean, the NHS equipment has been designed to be functional. You know, and they're very happy with that, and that's fine. That's, you know, I still like to try and hide it away a little bit, because as you know, your listener so rightly said, it's no incentive to get better. No. If you're looking at something that tells you you can't do such and such without that. So but you know, it's up to everybody's an individual. There's every project is bespoke.
Yeah, I think that's a really key thing, isn't it? People are very different, and yeah, there isn't, like all our homes, they reflect us, don't they?
Well, it's not, it's like saying, oh, well, actually, it's Scandi is the season, so I'm doing Scandi. Sorry if you don't like it. You know, I'm the interior designer, I'm doing it. That's so wrong. It's, you know, how people want to live. You put Scandi in my house, I go mad, but you know.
You've got some really other lovely comments here as well. Thank you, Elaine. This is amazing and inspiring. I would like this lady to do the interior design on my house. She's fab. There you go.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you, whoever said that. Be happy to. I think another thing I would like to stress is that if you are planning an extension or you're planning a property, future-proof it. You know, so look at maybe spending a little more on a wet room rather than a shower cubicle, because shower cubicles can be death traps. You know, you can slip on soap. Honestly, the statistics are amazing. You can trip over the step into the shower. You know, there's an awful lot of accidents in showers. And wet rooms are all the rage. Bang on trend is another expression, you know. So, I mean, I think the thing is try and future-proof it so it will suit anybody. And also, if you come to sell the property, it's going to increase in value and not decrease in value. And that's what I always try to do. That's try to give normal living.
Yeah, really wise. Thank you. It's been really fabulous you joining us tonight. Thank you.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It's been lovely talking to you.
Just before I end the stream there, Elaine, I just want to remind anyone who's watching, if they could just try and have a look and sign Nanny D Bonnet's petition that's in the group about keeping people's pets with them and homing people with pets when they're street homeless. It's in the group. And I know she's only about 25, 27 off a big number, and I've forgotten how many thousand it was, but she's done so well with that petition. So if you haven't found it, it's in the group. If you just search under Nanny D Bonnet, you'll find her. So thanks everyone for watching, and I'll see you soon. Bye.